Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now, this morning, we're going to be starting on a new series that deals with the death of Jesus Christ. You know, and it's a story many of you have heard probably over and over again, but we want to really take some time with the subject and dig deep into all the various aspects of his death and what it really means for us. So before too much time slips away from us, let's go ahead and turn the message over this morning to Pastor Reynolds.
This morning, we want to begin a new series concerning the death of Jesus Christ while he was hanging on the cross of Calvary. In regard to this, read with me the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 down through verse number 4. The Bible said here, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." The Bible said here in verse number 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Now notice this, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This morning, we want to begin this series talking about the death of Jesus Christ. Now, to us, we don't think about the death of Jesus Christ maybe being anything spectacular. But I believe that people that are truly born again understand that there's something peculiar about the death of Jesus Christ. The fact is this, that sin brings death, right? How many sins had Jesus Christ sinned when he died? The fact is that he had sinned not at all. Jesus Christ was the perfect Son of the living God. There was no sin that he ever sinned, because he always obeyed the will of his Father. He always did the will of his Father. The reason that Jesus Christ came to this earth was the will of his Father. The reason that Jesus Christ performed miracles was the will of his Father. The reason that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary was the will of his Father. But notice what the Scripture says. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 3, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. The Bible states explicitly here that Jesus Christ died not because of his sins. Rather, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary because of our sins. Understand that Jesus Christ is the perfect one. He is the one that had never sinned at all. And yet Jesus Christ came into the world, he lived a perfect life, and he died the perfect death, not because of his sins. Rather, Jesus Christ died, the Bible says, for our sins. This is the subject we want to cover. The death of Jesus Christ is a subject of never-failing interest to all who prayerfully study the Scripture of truth. Sometimes we gloss over this very important fact that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. He came into this world without any sin. He didn't have an earthly father. He had an earthly mother, Mary, but he did not have an earthly father. Jesus Christ is the perfect Son of the living God, and he came to die for us. Anybody that studies the Scripture prayerfully will understand that this is so. Every person that wants to know more about what Jesus Christ has done for them will study the Word of God for themselves, and they will very plainly see that Jesus Christ died not because of his sins. Rather, he died for our sins. There are four words that sum up the features of this mysteries of his death. Think of this. The death of Jesus Christ was a natural death. It happened naturally. Secondly, the death of Jesus Christ was unnatural. It was unnatural because he had never sinned at all. But furthermore, the death of Jesus Christ was predetermined. In other words, God had selected him to die for our sins. It is not that Jesus Christ died for his sins, but Jesus Christ died for our sins. And then fourthly, the death of Jesus Christ was supernatural. So the death of Jesus Christ was natural, it was unnatural, it was predetermined, and it was supernatural. We want to talk about just a few of these points. First of all, the death of Jesus Christ was very natural. By this we mean that it was a real death. It is because we are so familiar with the fact of the death of Jesus Christ that for us to say that his death is natural appears simple and commonplace. Yet what we here touch upon is, to the natural mind, one of the main elements of wonderment. You see, it is Jesus Christ who was taken and by wicked hands was crucified and slain, was none other than the Son of God, the one Jehovah had chosen to die for our sins and to shed his own blood for our own wickedness. You see, the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary was divine. It was a pure blood because there was no sin in it at all, none whatsoever. In Acts 20 and verse 28, the Bible says this concerning the death of Jesus Christ. Take heed thereto unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Is this not clear, that we are purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ? And yet that blood had no sin in it at all. He is absolutely, totally, perfectly pure, and yet he died for sinners. He shed his own blood. The pure blood of Jesus Christ was shed on the cross of Calvary, not for his sins, rather, it was shed for our sins. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 19, the Apostle Paul declares this, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. This is the plain truth of it, is that the pure Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Lord, the King, has died for us. How could the Son of God even suffer? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the perfect one. He had no sin at all, and yet he suffered. How could he suffer, and how could the Eternal One even come to the place of death? The answer is found in the book of Philippians 2 and verses 5 through verse 8, which states this, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Having become incarnate, because he is God in the flesh, the Lord of glory was capable of suffering death, but death is caused by sin, and Christ had no sin at all. But he still endured death, not because of his sins, rather he endured death because of my sins, because of our sins. When Christ cried to his Father in Luke 23:45, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. We see how natural his death was. And the reality of it became still more apparent when he was laid in the tomb where he remained for 3 days and three nights. That's a literal 72 hours that Jesus Christ was in the grave. I do not believe at all that Jesus Christ died on Friday and was raised on Sunday. That's not 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Any child can calculate that and know that it's not so. But Jesus Christ was buried 3 days and three nights. He was in the heart of the earth. That's what the scripture says. Not a partial day, not a partial night. But Jesus Christ was buried for three whole days and three whole nights. That's 72 hours. You can figure it up yourself. The death of Jesus Christ was very natural. But not only was it natural, but the death of Jesus Christ was also very unnatural. By this we mean that it was abnormal. Death comes upon humans because of sin. And Christ did not have any sin at all. Yet he died. He died because of our sins, not his sins. Christ is the incarnate Son of God. Therefore, he should never die. Yet, because he took our sins upon himself, he became sin for us. You see, death did not have a claim on Jesus Christ because death is the wages of sin. And Jesus Christ didn't have any sin. He should never have died. But he did die. He died for us on the cross of Calvary. In Luke 1, verse 35, the Bible says here, as the angel was speaking to Mary, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Not only did the Lord Jesus Christ enter into this world without contracting the defilement attachment to fallen human nature, but 1 Peter 1, verse 22 declares this, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. 1 John 3, verse 5 emphatically declares this about our Lord. The Bible says in 1 John 3, and verse number 5, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin at all. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, the Bible says this, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Understand that this is so. That because Jesus Christ had no sin at all, he died taking our sin upon himself, that he might give to us his perfect righteousness. That's what it's all about. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He is the perfect Son of God without any sin at all. And we have sinned. But Jesus took our sin upon himself and died for us on the cross of Calvary. Thereby, he was able to give us his righteousness. In 1 Peter 1, verse 29, the Bible correctly states that he was without blemish and without spot. You see, Jesus Christ is the perfect Son of the living God. And because he was absolutely, totally perfect, he had no sin at all. Therefore, death made no claim upon him. Even Pilate, three separate times in the Gospel of John, declared that he could find no fault in Jesus Christ at all. Notice, the first one is found in the book of John 18 and verse 38. When Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault in him at all. Do you know what? Pilate was absolutely right. because there was nothing wrong with Jesus Christ. He is the perfect Son of God without any sin at all. But notice, the second time is found in the book of John 19 and verse number 4. The Bible said here, Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth unto you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. For Pilate to say these two times that he could find no fault in Christ should have been sufficient. But it was not. Pilate said that two times. But the people would not listen at all. Finally, in the third time, is found in the book of John 19 and verse number 6. The Bible said here, When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! And Pilate said unto them, Take him and crucify him. For I find no fault in him. So, in these three times, the first one is John 18, verse number 38. The second time is John 19, verse number 4. And the third time is John 19 and verse number 6. Pilate confessed that he could find nothing at all wrong with Jesus Christ. He said, I find no fault in him at all. This is why we declare unto you that when Jesus died, his death was very unnatural. We die because we sin. But Christ did not die because of his sins. Rather, he died for our sins. And when he died for us, then he gave us his righteousness. This is the absolute truth of it all. But point number three is this. Jesus Christ's death was predetermined beforehand. By this we mean that it was marked out and determined beforehand that he would die for sinners. Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 13 verse number 8 declares this very vital truth. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Think of this, that Jesus Christ is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. This is why in the Old Testament that God gives command to kill an animal, that the blood would be shed. This is why, yet all of the blood of all those animals that was shed could never cover sin at all. But it was simply a remembrance that Jesus Christ would come, and the people in the Old Testament that were saved by looking forward to the death of Jesus Christ. The Holy One of God would come and die for sinners. This is what the Scripture is talking about. You see, before Adam was created, the fall of man into sin was anticipated by God. Sin was not anticipated by man. Rather, it was anticipated by God himself. Before sin entered the world, salvation from it had been planned by God. In the eternal counsels of deity, it was foreordained that there should be a Savior for sinners, and Jesus Christ would be the one who would come and die for sinners. Jesus Christ is the Savior who would suffer the just for the unjust. A Savior who would die in order that all who admit their sinfulness might live. Why? Because they're trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ, not in themselves. It's a whole trusting in what Jesus Christ has done, not trusting in themselves at all. You see, people that understand that they're not good enough to pay the price of sin can be saved. The only begotten of the Father offered himself as a ransom for unbelievers and for us that cannot be saved apart from Jesus Christ. We cannot. Of all the good things that we can do, none of those are good enough. None of those. We can go to church on Sunday. We can live our lives the way God wants us to live them. But none of those things are good enough. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ, the righteous Son of the living God, the one that could not die, the one that should not die, who did die for us because he took our sins upon himself and suffered the sufferings of the cross of Calvary, that we can have eternal life. It's not because of us. The predetermined death of Jesus Christ has been well termed the undergirding of the cross. It was in view of that approaching death that God justly passed over human rebellion. If God had not seen Christ as having been slain from before the foundation of the world, every person in the Old Testament, and that includes everybody, would have gone down to an eternal hell the instant death came upon them because of the weight of their own sins. But because God predetermined the death of Jesus Christ before he died, before he was even born, all the people in the Old Testament who recognized their own sins and asked God to forgive them were eternally saved. The Old Testament saints look forward to one who would come, while we in the New Testament, we look back to the one who came and died for us. Number four, the death of Christ was supernatural. By this we mean that it was different from every other death. And Jesus Christ's death is very, very different. In all things, he has the preeminence. His birth was different from every other birth. And his life was different from every other life. And his death is also different from every other death. This is clearly shown in his own utterance upon the subject. In John 10, verse 17 through verse number 18, the Bible records this, that Jesus Christ stated, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to take it again." Notice very carefully the wording of John 10, verse 17 and verse 18. Jesus Christ declares in these verses, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life." Not because Jesus Christ had any sin that weighted him down, but Jesus Christ simply laid down his life. Why? That he might take it again. Talking about his resurrection there. And Jesus Christ would not stay dead because he's the perfect Son of the living God. He came to die for us. Not for his own sins, but Jesus Christ died for our sins. He paid the price on the cross of Calvary when God refused to look upon his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ loves us, and he died for us. That's why he laid down his life, that he might take it again. In verse 17 of John 10, the Bible said here again, "No man taketh it from me." Well, that's the truth, isn't it? Jesus Christ says, "No man taketh it from me." Jesus Christ said in John 10, verse number 17, "But I lay it down of myself. I have power to take it again." The Gospels consist of four books. This is the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These four Gospel books describe the work of Jesus Christ in redemption and gives us many miracles and parables so we can understand some of the future kingdom of Christ. But notice this very important and vital point. More than one-fourth of the Gospels, that's the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, more than one-fourth of those four books cover only 1 week of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Think of that. Maybe you never even thought about that before. But I pray today that you might understand this very vital truth, that more than one-fourth of the Gospels cover only 1 week of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. This lesson begins with the earthly entry into Jerusalem, with Christ riding on a donkey and being proclaimed by the people to be the Messiah that they were looking for. But this great week ends in less than 6 days with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It's evident fact that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. This is what the Bible says in the book of John 10 and verse 17 and verse number 18. The Bible said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again." The Bible said in verse number 17, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to take it again." No man has ever reached that except Jesus Christ. He is the only begotten Son of the living God. And he died not for himself, not because of his own sins, but Jesus Christ died for us. Today, we have only covered 4 small points about the death of Jesus Christ. First of all, we've covered the point that Jesus Christ's death was very natural. Secondly, we've covered that it was unnatural. Thirdly, we've covered the point that the death of Jesus Christ was predetermined by God himself. And number 4, we have covered the point of the death of Jesus Christ being supernatural. In future messages, we want to preach some more about the power that Jesus Christ exhibited for us on the cross of Calvary. But if you're lost today, you need to see, most of all, that Jesus Christ has died on the cross of Calvary. It's a very natural death, and yet it was unnatural. It was a predetermined death, and it was a supernatural death, that Jesus Christ died for sinners. If you're lost, trust Jesus Christ today that he might wash away your sins.
You know, thank you, Brother Wayne, for the message this morning. The death of Jesus Christ is such an important part of the salvation story, and it's really amazing just to stop for a minute and to think that the very Creator, the divine Son of God, came and died for my sins. And it's so amazingly humbling to think about what he's done for me. And, you know, as Christians, it should stir in us a strong desire to live for him, to use our lives in a way that points back to him and brings him and him alone glory and honor. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to be covering this topic of Jesus Christ's death in even more depth. So I want you to be sure and join us each week to learn more about Christ's death and what it means for us. Now, we do encourage you to come and join us in person if you can. We'd love to have you join us for services. We'll be meeting each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship services, and then on Sunday afternoons, we're going to come back together at 3:45 for a prayer meeting and 4:30 worship services. And, of course, don't forget that every week on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, we have our Bible study. Now, if you've never been to our building, you can find us at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. We're just right there off of Highway 70, and very easy access to our building. So 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. Now, if you're interested in learning more about our church, we'd encourage you to log on to our website at www.independencebaptist.org. And from there, you're going to find a lot of different books, articles, tracts, audio messages, all there from Independence Baptist Church. You can also listen to full-length messages on sermonaudio.com/IBC. And there is a link, actually, to that off of our website as well. Well, looking at the clock, it does appear that our time is just about up. So as we come down to a close, we want to take just a second and thank you for listening and remind you to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message on the death of Jesus Christ.